Good evening, all listeners. This is Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. This is Issues of Life, and we bless God for another Saturday. And indeed, these are interesting times we live in. We've been talking about knowing the God we believe in and defending our faith and all that. So this evening, I'll be continuing this series, and I believe we are going to learn a few things. You know, it's very important we get into these things because of the times we live in. Deception is gradually going to increase to levels we've never seen before. Reason being that Jesus warned us that deception will be a major part of the end times. And obviously, deception thrives best in ignorance. So that's why we should understand these things. And especially as believers, we are going to witness something which we've never had in this political landscape in this country. We are going to have debates in offices, in schools, and all that about, you know, our religions in Ghana, and we serve the same God and all that, blah, 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 you know. But see, ignorance is such an expensive thing, and we shouldn't be ignorant about some of these things. This week I had the occasion of meeting a friend. I was buying something, and she had also packed. So we were talking, and then it's like, oh, but well, we all religions are serving the same God. We are all going to heaven the same. And it's like, I was just, wow. I mean, you see, I realized that's even more important. The reason why we should be talking about some of these things, we should understand our foundation as believers, as Christians. Because you see, you'll be hearing things in your office, people will be debating and talking. Then they come and ask you, what else for mommy? So, you see, so when people come to you with such questions, what do you say? If you yourself, you are not sure of your faith, you don't even know what you believe in, you cannot defend what you believe in. It's not the best. I mean, we should be able to defend our faith. We should be able to explain to those who don't understand what we believe in with the word of God, explain to them. You see, because we should be in the position ever ready. If someone asks you, what do you believe in? Is Jesus the Son of God? You should be able to say yes or no. I mean, if you are saying yes, why? You should be able to say it. You see, so that foundational doctrine of who we are as Christians, what we believe in and all that, is the essence of this series I'm talking about and all that. Because deception is so important in these last days that the believers who do not secure themselves in the knowledge of the word of God may be found wanting, because they will just believe any wind of doctrine that blows, and they will just fall for anything they hear. And see, we shouldn't forget that Jesus warned. The fact that Jesus warned about it means we should be on the alert against deception. All right, so let's just look into some of the news this evening, and just get into a little word of God. So many things happening in the world. Of course, we just can't live without the news. In these times, we should know what is happening. First, we look at Israel. They released some of the prisoners this week and yesterday. And today, there are bits of some issues. The Palestinians are in Hamas, are refusing some delays and all that. But the most shocking news this week regarding this Palestinian Hamas issue and Israel and all that was, Palestinian Authority blames Israel for music festival massacre. And it's like, wow, I mean, this is serious. The Palestinian Authority's foreign ministry claimed Israel, not Hamas, is responsible for the October 7th massacre at the Supernova Music Festival, an accusation that Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described as utterly preposterous. As the Times of Israel reported Sunday, the PA, or the Palestinian Authority, asserted that preliminary investigation by Israel police concluded that the Israel Defense Forces were responsible for a majority of festival attendees' deaths. Hamas, October 7th attack on civilian communities in Israel killed over 1,200 people, mostly civilians, including over 330 people at the Supernova Music Festival near Kibbutz Reim. Hamas kidnapped about 240 others that day. The attack prompted Israeli airstrikes and a ground offensive in Gaza, seeking to eradicate Hamas and rescue hostages. The PA, or the Palestinian Authority, is the governing body of certain Palestinian regions of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, resulting from the Oslo Accords, a peace agreement in the 1990s that attempted to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict by establishing a two-state solution. And you know, if you've been following some of the protests in the world, I mean developed countries, this is some of what people are saying, that this whole thing is fake. Israel, there's faked it. Some even this week, one official in the US, a Muslim, said that no babies were killed. And you know, it's ridiculous how some narratives are pushed and people just buy it into it and accept it and run with it. And this is one such thing, that the killings were done by Israeli soldiers themselves. And you know, meanwhile, there are videos of people who were recording some of the attacks. You see the Hamas people shooting into cars. There's one video, at least I've watched, I think two videos of people who were escaping and cars were being shot into by the Hamas terrorists and all. So it's just ridiculous how someone can say such a thing and people believe that, yes, that's true. Israel caused it. They killed their own people. And some also standing by the fact that, the event didn't even happen. It's just a fake thing Israel used as a justification to attack the Gaza Strip. But you see, when we talk of deception in this time, this is an example. I mean, not even just in terms of the spiritual deception, biblical, against Bible law, twisting of scripture and all that, but the general deception in the world, all sorts of things just being pushed around, falsehood that is painted as truth, and people just fall for it. And it's amazing how, you know, I have one friend who keeps saying that the world is just being prepped up for the Antichrist system, because, you know, the way this current generation, especially the youth and the teens, largely the youth, the way they are just falling for anything they hear, it will make the work of the Antichrist so easy, because it's like people will not even question anything again, because that's what is happening. People are not questioning things when they hear it. It's like whatever they see, they believe. Whatever they hear, they believe. So there's so much of fake now with AI, fake things being, fake images, are just generated and people are believing it. Fake this, fake that, people just believe it. So it's making people so, quote-unquote, stupid, not to just question anything. So just believe whatever you are told. So we've gotten to that point where those who are behind deception, whether misinformation or disinformation, whatever way it is, know very well that people will believe it. So let's say it and they will believe it. And that's where the whole danger lies, because intentionally people are just coming out with things which they know that the masses are just so gullible, they'll just believe it. Just tell them, they'll believe it. Just be serious about it, they'll believe it. And that's what Hitler did. Say a lie, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and people will believe it as truth. And that's exactly what we are seeing in these times. Okay, then we have this one that says that Hamas releases Israeli and Thai hostages in 4-day ceasefire for prisoner hostage exchange. So, as I said, yeah, they started the exchange yesterday. A number of Palestinian hostage prisoners were also released from Israeli prisons. That's in exchange for the agreed number of people from the Hamas prisons, kidnapped, those kidnapped. being released. Then we have atheist groups cheer as UK Parliament set to consider a bill severing the Church of England's ties to government. A bill aimed at officially severing the Church of England from the British government is set to be introduced in Parliament next month, and the atheists are happy about it. Okay, then we have anti-Christian hatred motivated man who murdered 20-year-old in Pakistan. The father of 20-year-old Christian who was gunned down in Pakistan this month said the confessed killer was driven by a strong hatred for Christians and Jews. Wow, wow. You know, I've been saying it, I mean, since this war, then those who listen to the early days, I was saying this, and that's exactly what is, I mean, today or now, it looks like it's the Jews that are being hated around the world. But I'll repeat it, it's just a matter of time. It will not just be the Jews, it will be the Jews and the Christians. Christians will be added to the Jews. You see, this whole hatred about Jews is not just because they hate Jews for Jews' sake. They hate Jews because Jesus was a Jew when he was on earth. So the association of Christ being Jewish is where the hatred starts from. Of course, those who express the anti-Semitism and the hatred and all, they won't say it, they won't openly say that this is the reason why. But you see, the hatred for Jews and Christians is spiritually induced. It's spiritual, I mean, obvious. So this is the whole spiritual foundation for the hatred. It's because of the God factor, the Christ factor. That's all. Then we have this one that says, pastor killed, wife kidnapped by armed bandits in Nigeria. I mean, the Nigeria issue is really something now. Every day you see a report. I mean, it's happening almost every day now. And so you have armed assailants in Kaduna State, Nigeria, last Friday killed a pastor and kidnapped his wife, according to sources. And they said that the Reverend Joshua Amaku Maraya of the Evangelical Church Winning All in Damasakua town was killed at night by bandits, said the Reverend Romanus Ibn Wokudi, spokesman for ECWA in Jos Plateau State. He solicited for prayers for the safe return of the wife and comfort for the family. Oh, very, very serious, very serious. But then the next one is even very sad as well. Nigeria again, kidnappers shoot pastor dead after church members hand over ransom payment for his release. A pastor kidnapped earlier this month in Nigeria's central state of Kogi was killed on Tuesday after church members paid a ransom for his release, according to sources. The Reverend David Musa of the Evangelical Church Winning All, so the same church, so a different branch, but the same church as the earlier pastor who was also killed in the Obajana, Lokoja County, had been kidnapped from his farm by armed terrorists, said a church member, John Emmanuel. With a heavy heart, I want to inform you that an evil act has taken place. My pastor, Reverend David Musa of ECWA Church, Obajana, who was kidnapped on Saturday, 11th November, whilst he was on his farm, has been killed by his terrorist captors after they collected the ransom they demanded. Emmanuel said in a text message to Morning Star News, quote, kindly pray for the family and the church. The ECWA Obajana Local Church Board and the ECWA Church denomination at large. Church members said the terrorists had demanded 20 million naira, that's about $23,600, but had accepted 1 million naira, that's $1,184. Reverend Musa was killed by the terrorists after they were paid a ransom of the 1 million naira by the church leadership. Church member Stephen Danali told Morning Star News in a text message, this is because the church was unable to raise the 20 million naira demanded by the terrorists. The kidnappers had agreed to accept 1 million naira as ransom before two church members went to recover the pastor, said the church member identified only as Mary, according to local news media. After the kidnappers told the church members to take Pastor Musa and leave, they called the pastor to return and shot him dead as he was coming back, she said. The ECWA Obajana District Church Council confirmed the abduction and murder of Pastor Musa. Something else. Very heartless. Okay, then we get into this news. Trans soccer player, so a transgender soccer player, threatens lawsuit after woman refused to compete against him. This world. A British male athlete who identifies as trans quits a women's soccer team and is considering legal action after opponents refused to compete against him following an incident where a female athlete suffered a broken knee whilst attempting to block his shot. Hey. the power behind the you see, this is what we call the madness of this trans movement too. I mean, this obviously shows this is a man. The power in his shots is enough to break the knee of a lady. And yet this person says he claims he is a woman, a lady. So should be allowed to play with ladies. I mean, then this one, if a goalkeeper catches a shot, the wrist will also be broken. So Francesca Needham, 30. They should call himself Francis. Francesca Needham, 30, resigned from Rosington Main Ladies, a soccer team in South Yorkshire, after the female athlete's knee injury and ongoing refusal from opposing teams to play against Needham. Upcoming matches were cancelled. That's all. In a statement to the Daily Mail this week, Needham indicated that he is considering pursuing a discrimination case. The trans athlete hopes the situation can be resolved peacefully and promptly. It's disheartening to acknowledge that this situation contradicts everything in the diversity and inclusion policies, given that I have diligently met every single requirement set out by the Football Association to play, he wrote. See, and this is what is happening. I mean, this week there was one swimming competition, and another man who says he's been swimming as a man and struggling to win decides that now I'm a woman. So comes into the women category and then just breaks a record. And it's like, you know, you look at all these things and it tells you that there's something wrong with this generation. There's something very, very wrong with this generation. You know, because something which the mind, even a child's mind, cannot process, that there's wisdom in. And yet adults see nothing wrong with it. And they are embracing it, encouraging it. And rather you have people who rather... I mean, a few weeks ago, there was one story I read on issues and where a woman has been rather punished for 2 years for the competition, suspended for 2 years, banned for 2 years, for refusing to compete against a male who claims is a woman, a female. And this is it's just happening across the world. We thank God for Africa, for some of our cultural values that we are not really bending, because... I mean, I just can't figure out how this should be allowed. But it's happening. So you see somebody's shoulders as broad as, anything. The person says, I'm a woman. And, you know, in these places where sports is such a big deal, you can get scholarship into university and all that. It can influence your job applications and all. So... now, those men who are struggling in their main divisions, in the whichever sports they are in, they look at the situation and it's like, so let's just decide to be a woman, a female, for the purpose of winning easily, gain scholarship into university, and then just deceive the masses. I mean, that's what is happening for some of them. Just an easy passage, get scholarship to go to university. So I'll pretend to be a female, deceive everybody that I'm a female now, I'm on drugs, transforming to be a transgender, and is something. The craze is something else. But to me, this news is the most worrying. The one I'm coming up to: Church of England votes to proceed with trial blessing services for same-sex couples. And the first thought that comes to mind is, why should a church even decide to try this out? What is there to try? The Bible is clear and explicit about marriage. So what is there to try again? But I mean, for those who have been following this program for some time, for some years now, you can see the retrogression of the Church of England. I mean, it's sad how a church that has years back was a pillar of the faith in England has now become a citadel of devils, because now they virtually are opposing the word of God in its full course, and even those who stand in their way are punished. I mean, last year or this year, I read of a headmaster, a priest in the Church of England school, who was opposing the LGBT teachings in the school and was teaching the rights, what is right, the correct biblical things. The church and the school punished him, they sacked him and all that. And you ask yourself, so how low can a church go again? How low can the church go again? Beyond all that we are hearing, and it's like, it seems this is a new low for the church. So the Church of England has decided to proceed with trial blessing services for same-sex couples. This decision, made during the General Synod, marks a significant shift in the denomination's stance on same-sex relationships. The Bishop of Oxford proposed the amendment for these trial services, which narrowly passed in the House of Laity by one vote. The UK-based group, the Christian Institute, noted, adding that the House of Bishops supported the motion 23-10 with 4 abstentions. The House of Clergy also voted in favor, 100-93, with 1 abstention. The House of Laity also voted in favor, but by 104-100, with no abstentions. Originally, the House of Bishops proposed that these services be formally authorized under a 2-year process, requiring a 2/3 majority in each of the 3 houses. However, the approval allows for the use of prayers of blessings in existing services as early as December, while the bishops discuss implementation. The Reverend John Dunnett, the National Director of the Church of England Evangelical Council, expressed disappointment with the decision, stating it departs from the biblical understanding of sex and marriage. CEC plans to announce provisions for Orthodox evangelicals and aims to ensure their continued presence in the denomination. The Anglican Network in Europe, the Anglican Convocation in Europe, and the Anglican Mission in England had previously urged the House of Bishops to adhere to biblical teachings on sexual conduct. They described the decision as offensive to God and a distortion of his message. That's true. At the Synod, Christian Concerns Benjamin John criticized the Church of England's move, calling it a rebellion against God's word. Rebecca Benstead from the Christian Legal Center and the legal arm of the Christian Concern highlighted the lack of transparency and the legal process in the proposal. The rector of Buckingham, the Reverend William Pearson Gee, emphasized the importance of adhering to the teachings of Jesus and the Apostolic Church. To say that a practice is sinful is not opposed to a Savior who came to save us from sin. It's all of our discovery that we are sinful, and that it is pastoral to be told how and to be called to change. Unquote. Charlie Screen, the rector of All Souls in London, pointed out the contradiction between the Church of England's doctrine on marriage and proposed pastoral step. The Reverend Neil Barber of Derby and the Reverend Ian Paul from Southwell and Nottingham raise concerns about the perceived abandonment of doctrine and the need for integrity and transparency. The watching world sees the Church of England is dumping its doctrine, even though we assert that legally we are not, but they know that we are not doing nothing. They see that we are changing doctrine, he reiterated. Anna De Castro from Sheffield called for the consistency between the confessed and lived doctrines. And then others expressed the fact that they have concerns of lack of clear timescale for the motion passed. The CEC said it remains committed to working towards a permanent structural statement, a settlement that secures orthodox life and witness between denominations. They continue to uphold the doctrines of the Church of England as expressed in the 39 articles, the Book of Common Prayer, and the Ordinal. Wow, wow, wow. How low can the church go again? And from the look of the way things are going and as more deception is coming, I can tell you that this is not the lowest point yet. Expect more low levels. Expect more low levels, because you see, we are, as I said, in the season. Deception is going to be rife. It's just going to be hitting levels we never expected it to be, because that's what the word of God says. And these are things we cannot change. The only caution is we should ensure, by whichever means, with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the interest in the word of God, to be always avoiding, to be always being in a position to avoid being deceived, because people will be deceived no matter what. But we should ensure that we are not amongst those to be deceived. And that's the most critical point of it all. That's the reason why I say some of the things I say on this program, so that we are not deceived. Myself and you, the listener out there, because we should be warned that deception, I've said it and said it, and I'm not keeping quiet on it, because we've not reached the point. It's still coming, and it's going to increase into levels that, for the fact that Jesus said that if it were possible, even the very elect can be deceived, that shows the seriousness of the level of deception that this world is going to see. Oh yes, that shows the level of because for the very elect, for someone to be very elect, I mean, the person is walking right with God, spirit-filled, spirit-led. But if even those people can get to the point where if care is not taken, they can be deceived, then that means the deception will look very real. So close to the real or the reality, so close to 100%, that you may even say yes before you realize, no, I was wrong. Because that's how deception is. Deception is well packaged to deceive. I mean, well packaged information designed to deceive you. And knowing the devil that we are dealing with, our enemy that we are all contending and resisting and fighting and all that, knowing who he is and his track record and his ability to deceive successfully in years and centuries back, we shouldn't see ourselves as it's like we there, oh, we are above him, he cannot deceive us. No. As soon as we see ourselves that we cannot be deceived in that bragging way, then we are even the best candidate for him, because then pride is coming in. No. We should all humble ourselves and know that we can all fall for it, except we are grounded in the word of God and we have the Holy Spirit assisting us and guiding us and leading us. And we are also responsive and listening to the guiding and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because by our own efforts, who are we? We cannot do anything. But it's only the grace and the help of God through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. These are the things that will keep us empowered to be able to overcome the enemy that we are contending. And I believe as we listen to these things, we are going to encourage ourselves and help each other. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life. Playing this beautiful song by the Maranatha Singers. Beautiful song by the Maranatha Singers. You know, sometimes we have to encourage ourselves that it doesn't matter what's happening, God is with us. And that's the assurance that we have that He will be with us. And, you know, sometimes the devil will try to make it look like God has left us, God is not with us. He will bombard our minds with all sorts of accusations and suggestions, the negativities. Even pushing people to the point of, just end it all and just leave this world and have your peace of mind and all that. And that's one of the deceptions of the enemy trying to challenge the fact that God is not with you, God has left us, God doesn't care about us. But be encouraged this evening that God is with us. Sometimes it will look like, I mean, you're on your own. It will look like things are just not working out. But in all these things, we should not give up hope. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you go through situations and then at the time when God shows up, when now you look back, you appreciate what he did even better. Because you realize that he comes in at the point when you, that was really, really when you needed him. Perhaps if he had come earlier, you would have missed some other opportunities. You know, his timing is not our timing. Though it is difficult sometimes, at the end of the day, when he comes through and now you assess the whole situation, you realize that he came at the actual time that he had to come in. And that is God. And the patience that we need to wait for him when going through the challenges and the difficult times is where we need the help of the Holy Spirit to carry us through. And I believe he is going to help us and sustain us even in difficult times. We shouldn't give up. And perhaps, I mean, the devil is just buffeting you, pushing you, end it all, end it all, end it all. Do not give in to those thoughts. And you have to fight back, resist. I mean, speak it out. No, resist that you will not end it. You will still trust in God till the very end. All right. So I believe that's for someone out there. So, you know, for those who have listened to this program, in the course of this year, I've read a number of surveys that, you know, talk of the number of Christians having their worldview, perception of the Word of God reducing considerably in various countries, UK, Germany, and other parts of the world. It's unfortunate that Africa, we don't really do these surveys. You know, some believe that surveys are for people who have eaten and they are full. They have enough to eat, so they have time to do other things. So are we, it's unfortunate, but surveys are really, really not something that Africans are interested in that much. But, you know, it helps in, you know, pastors to be able to know better what to do, the church, the numbers, what's happening, you know, why the youth are not responding to this, or why the youth are doing that. You know, these things help, but unfortunately, we are not interested in these things in Africa. Let me limit ourselves to Ghana. But then, you see, the reason why some of these things is important is it gives you an idea of the direction the church is headed. And in all the surveys that this year I've gleaned through, I've read some on this program and all that, one thing is very obvious, that we are having a generation that few really understand what they believe in. Very few. Very few believers really know why they are Christians and can defend their faith. You perhaps be asking, why is it important? It's important because as many as do not understand what they believe in and cannot defend the faith that they, profess, the probability that they will fall away under harsh conditions, difficult conditions, unpleasant conditions, is extremely high. Because if you don't even know what you believe in, you don't really even doubt the word of God. So now you have believers who are questioning the word of God, trying to punch holes in the word of God, making all sorts of assertions, the white man's book, white man's religion, all sorts of things. You know, for those who may not know, the white man's Bible and all that, but the Ethiopian Bible is older than the so-called white man's Bible, as people say it is. So if even not at all, the Ethiopian Bible is much, much older than the white man's Bible, as they call it. And Ethiopia is Africa. But it's an unnecessary argument. I don't waste time on those people and those things. But then you see, these are the things that enemy is using to undermine the faith of people. And because people are listening to, because they don't have the foundation, when they listen to all sorts of characters out there, they just believe whatever they say because it may sound logical, you know, and deception sometimes rides on the wind of logic. So it's like, oh, okay, then they raise some logical questions, and because people don't even have a grounding in the word of God, they just believe what the people are pushing and saying. But then this is where the issue is. If we have no idea, we cannot stand by the faith that we profess, then when someone pulls a gun at you, you'd say that, oh, okay, I don't even, this Jesus Christ, I don't even know him. I mean, I've never heard his name. I don't know him. I mean, you deny him simply just within a second. You just deny him because, I mean, you don't even have any affiliation. You don't have a real relationship. And this is the danger. So that's why we should encourage ourselves to really understand what we believe in and stand by it. I mean, just in passing, this thing I talked about, denying your faith. You know, for those who heard this former Boko Haram terrorist some time back was sharing one his testimony, and he said there was this case where they accosted these Christians. No, as it's been happening, it's still happening in Nigeria, the terrorists, Boko Haram arresting, kidnapping and all that. And they put, you know, gun points, Christians, I mean, youth people, and it's like, deny Christ and we spare your life. So, sad case. The faithless ones, let me put it that way, they also didn't have a foundation. They also didn't understand what this whole thing was about. Faith is about, Christianity is about, and all that. Said that, oh, they've denied Christ quickly so that they save their lives. And then those who stood their ground as they will die in the faith, they will not deny Christ. Now the terrorists, these Boko Haram guys, looked at them and said, okay. Now they turned the gun on the ones who deny Christ, saying that you are worthless, because if you can deny your faith, your so-called faith, you can deny your Christ, and we invite you to be Muslims, come and join us, you will not be faithful as well, because you don't even know what you stand for. So they killed them. So they killed those who rather deny Christ and allowed those who didn't deny Christ and stood their faith. They left them. They allowed them to go. You see how, some things can turn out. So they're thinking they are saving themselves, denying Christ. They are saving their lives. They rather lost their lives. And what a sad way to die, because, deny Christ and in the next minutes you are being killed. It's the worst thing you can think of. That's how serious it is. You see, but those who stand by their faith or stood by their faith, they were spared. Of course, that's not how it happens or ends all the time. But this is just an example of how it can be dangerous to think, oh, you are playing a smart one. Let me deny Christ. And then when I finish and when they go, then I'll go back to Christ again. And this is a similar case of, they didn't get the chance to go back again. They were killed soon after. You see, so if you are believing, believe. That's the bottom line. That's the essence of this warning that came from this, I think it was called Shaibu or something, the former Boko Haram. Okay, he became a Christian. So I started talking about this 2 weeks or so ago, talking about the apologetics. So what is Christian apologetics? The English word apology comes from a Greek word which basically means to give a defense. So Christian apologetics then is the science of giving a defense of the Christian faith. The Christian faith. So you are giving a defense of the Christian faith. Faith that you and I profess. There are many skeptics who doubt the existence of God and or attack belief in the God of the Bible. So there are many critics who attack the inspiration, the validity of the Bible and all that. There are many false teachers who promote false doctrines and deny the key truths of the Christian faith. The mission of Christian apologetics is to combat these movements and instead promote the Christian God and the Christian truth. So the key word we are going to use is 1 Peter 3:15. And 1 Peter 3:15, it says that, using the King James, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Let me repeat. "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And earlier on, I started, I made reference to the fact that we are going to have instances where people will come to you. They know you are a Christian. They know you speak in tongues. They know you are born again in your school, or you are in the office, you are a nurse, you are whatever. They know you as a Christian. And we are going to have arguments in offices and in schools. I mean, this one is going to happen. I mean, we can pretend and pretend it's not going to happen, but this is the reality. I mean, it's better we just stand for the truth and say it as it is. We are going to see and hear these things. So you should be able to defend and say why you believe what you believe in. And people would expect a good answer from you because they expect you're a Christian. So you should be able to justify why yours is the right way, and you should be able to say it. So that's why we are talking about it. So this is what Peter wrote to them. That is, you should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if someone asks you, why do you believe in Jesus? Why is Jesus the only way? Why should I believe that Jesus is the only way? You should be able to give an answer. And that's why we are talking about this in this series. Because we should be able to defend, and we should be able to give reasons for why we believe in what and who we believe in. And then, you know, let's continue. So the key verse, that's what I've used. There's no excuse for a Christian to be completely unable to defend his or her faith. Every Christian should be able to give a reasonable presentation of his or her faith in Christ. And it's like, it's not every Christian needs to be an expert. I mean, of course, you don't need to give the big words and or like a presentation in a Bible school type of thing. But every Christian should know what he believes. He or she believes what you believe in. You should know it and why you believe it and how you share it with others and how to defend it against lies and attacks. And that's the key thing. You see, because there are going to be lies as we go on. And we have already seen some videos like that. You know, there are going to be lies about the Christian faith, what we believe in and what others believe in and all. But you should be able to defend what you believe in, because if it's not true, it's not true. If it's true, it is true. But if you don't know, how do you know the other side? So if it's just being bandied around as this is true or this is the truth, when in essence it is not, it's only those who know the truth that can know that this is not the truth. So that's the issue here. Then the other aspect of Christian apologetics that is often ignored is the second part, and that's the key thing. Is you do this with gentleness and respect, with meekness, some versions will say. That means it's not about fighting, it's not about insults, it's not about, don't talk to the person again, we are enemies and all that. No, it's about gentility and humility and respect. That you do this not as a self-righteous way of reaching out and as if you are better than others. I mean, you alone, you know, others don't know, proud person talking. No, it's how you present your faith. It's what makes it pleasant to even people who you think they will not listen to you. So defending the Christian faith with apologetics should never involve being rude, angry, being disrespectful. Whilst practicing Christian apologetics, we should strive to be strong in our defense and at the same time be Christ-like in our presentation. If we win a debate but turn a person even further away from Christ by our attitude, we have lost the true purpose of Christian apologetics. See, the issue is not about to impress people. It's not about to show off and all that. It's about the way you present it in a way that is inviting the person. There are many testimonies of people who will say that, oh, the way this person spoke about what he believes in, let me try, let me read the Bible and see. Let me just go to church one day and see. And they go and then they change, they transform, they become Christians. See, so it's all about how we present what we believe in and how we approach it. And, you know, so we should be reasonable in how we go about these things, because at the end of the day, it's about Christ that we are projecting. It's about Christ that we are presenting. And that's very, very key, and that's important. And so what does it mean to contend for the faith? You know, so, you know, if you read Jude 1:3, it says that, Jude 1:3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." I exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. So, you know, Jude is writing to the Christians, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And in the opening passage, you know, he explains that he had initially intended to write a general letter of encouragement on the topic of salvation that we share. But instead, Jude explains, "I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted, that was given to you." Contend for the faith. So he's concerned about the faith. His concern is about the faith. The Christian message of the gospel is under attack from false teachers. I mean, all sorts of deceptions and all that, who are spreading dangerous. There are a lot of heresies we are hearing, we keep hearing, and I keep saying we are even going to hear more. More wild things. We are going to hear more wild things about the Christian faith. But Jude is urging us to contend for the faith against those who seek to undermine and erode it with all sorts of twisted things. You know, the Greek word Jude chooses to use, it's translated as contend earnestly. Contend earnestly is usually describes an athlete striving with extreme intensity to win the victory in a physical competition. So the Amplified Bible translates the command as fights strenuously for the defense of the faith. Contend. Fight strenuously for the defense of the faith. So Jude wants all believers to contend earnestly for the faith. A true contender vigorously endeavors to win the competition, not holding anything back. In this case, the struggle is for the faith, which is the saving truth of Jesus Christ and his teachings. And that's the most important thing. So since this faith was entrusted to God's holy people, you and I, we shouldn't just wait for Christian leaders, but every Christian should be able to contend for the faith. And since this faith is entrusted to us, we are supposed to stand against those who claim all sorts of wild things against the word of God, against Christ, against the faith and all that. And so the truth is the word of God, the teachings of Christ, the Holy Spirit inspired writings of the apostles and all the prophets and all these things. This is all part of the word of God, the faith that we are having. And see, we have this truth to behold as the word of God. And we should be able to defend what we believe and what we hold as the word of God. You know, so you see the warning of there will be perverts, the word of God will be perverted, will be twisted. You see, all sorts of new teachings coming up and all that. And you know, there's one teaching I saw, one man I saw who was saying that even Satan will turn around and God will forgive him. It's like, wow. I mean, and people believe it, you know. So all sorts of things. And you ask yourself, where is that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? And people believe. You see, so you see, people have so shallow, they just believe anything. They just believe anything. And so the word of God is the truth that we believe in. We should be able to defend it and stand by it. You know, it's sad when you hear all sorts of things, and the same white man who brought the gin is the same one who brought the Bible. Even that one is not true, because when the ship comes, it's like an aeroplane lands at the airport. You have all sorts of people. Businessmen are in. You have students. You have traders. You have, I mean, different people, trades, or different characters. But the fact that they all came in the same plane does not mean they are all the same. So if a ship comes from Europe and there are missionaries on board, and there are also gin traders and there are slave traders and all on board, you can't just lump all of them together as they are all bad people. But, you know, because of ignorance, people will say all these things. Anyway, so we thank God. This is Issues of Life. We have just about 2 minutes, and I believe we'll be building on to these points as the weeks go by, as we increase our knowledge in contending for our faith or defending our faith. Whatever we believe in, we should be able to understand the reason. So just in closing, the verse, the key verses I used, let me just give you can read it and do your own further studies. So we have 1 Peter 3:15 and then Jude 1:3. These are the two critical verses I used, but you can add 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. God, next week I'll be talking about that one as well. So this is Eben Godly. Next week I'll be coming your way. Good night, and God bless you.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian with music.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfm.com.